So this morning, I was trying to figure out where we're going, and you heard someone reference earlier, the last couple weeks have been very busy. I was at district conference. I took a weekend off last weekend to go relax, and while doing that, I did a lot of things, and it was great, but it was busy, but it was good. And I heard that Allison was amazing. How many of you really got something out of last Sunday's message? Okay, excellent. I am looking forward to listening to it once it is up online. And I was trying to figure out where is it that we go this morning, because it's kind of, I had a migraine all week and I was struggling to push through. We have a mental health first aid course that some of us are doing this weekend. And so please don't be alarmed if you see people walking in the building as you're finishing your coffee and leaving. There are people who are joining us for the second part of the first aid course today who aren't here this morning. So welcome them and just say hey if you see them kicking around. But I was trying to figure out what's the next step? And as I pulled out the spiritual vision chart that I had kind of mentioned in January for the year as we look at expanding our horizons, and I pulled out the vision chart of what we're looking at, I felt that the next piece was, I had mentioned that we were going to do a Bible reading challenge. Does anyone remember that? How many of you still remember the scriptures that we memorized earlier in the year? There's a couple of you. That's awesome. We're still going to work on memorizing scriptures, and we haven't just forgotten about that. It's just there's a time and a season for everything. I didn't forget about the Bible reading challenge, but I really did want to honor the Bible studies that have been going on in this winter chunk of the year. And both of those will wrap up this Thursday morning and Thursday evening for the summer. And so there's been a group on Thursday nights digging through the book of Mark, and it's only one chapter we have read a week, but there's been a lot of really good digging and contemplation and consideration there. And Thursday mornings, they've been reading as well. And so I didn't want to give you a Bible reading challenge in a season that might take away from that component of the ministries that are happening in the church. And so as I considered that June would be a good month to start that Bible reading challenge, and what was that going to look like, I ended up resting on reading the book of Proverbs together as a church for the month of June. So what that's going to look like, if you have your bulletins, you'll see there's a yellow insert. If you didn't get a bulletin or you didn't get an insert, we're going to make sure that you can have one before you go, because I really felt strongly Proverbs was a great way to go, because it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, there is wisdom to be had in Proverbs. And the Lord really shows up in powerful ways. And so you're going to take that chart home and you personally can read through it. What you'll see is that each day of the month, you will read a chapter of the book of Proverbs and you can just tick it off. There are 31 chapters, so you have to start on the last day of May. That's the way we've made up the difference for that, okay? So there is not one of us who can't participate in this, because even the youngest in my family who struggles to read, he actually has an app on his iPad where he can listen to the Bible. Isn't that great? It's amazing what technology can do. And so I thought that as a church family, this is a great opportunity, because it creates a point of connection for us all together, where as parents, we can talk with our children, or we can have conversation around the dinner table about what we've read and has jumped out at us in the day as we look at that. And so the reason that I really wanted to do this was because I felt that it was applicable regardless of age. A couple months ago, we were talking about how you can ask God anything. Remember that? And some of you walked in and you saw the first slide and you thought, whoa, she's off her rocker. And we unpacked that it needs to be in line with God's heart. But in that, we look back at Solomon and in 2 Chronicles, and you don't need to turn there this morning, but in 2 Chronicles 1, verses 8 to 13, Solomon asked God for wisdom to be able to rule his people well and with God's heart. And God was so pleased when he had said to him, you can ask for anything you want, and that his heart was in the right place, that not only did he give him the wisdom to rule the people of Israel well, but he gave him wisdom that surpassed anything. And he gave him financial things and treasures and storehouses. And we read about the Queen of Sheba came to visit him. People would come from all over because his wisdom was so vast that they would want to learn from it. And his riches were so enormous that they would want to see them. And so when Solomon gets all of this, it makes him not only a good king, but he's a good administrator of the kingdom. He becomes so wise and he rules with such justice that he just keeps saying things that are brilliant, because it's not his wisdom, it's the Lord's wisdom coming through him. And so 1 Kings 4 verse 32 tells us that Solomon spoke over 3,000 proverbs and wrote more than 105 songs. Now, in a day and age of iTunes, I think the impact of that is a little bit lost on us. 3,000 wise sayings that people recorded that they felt were like life-changing and notable. That's a big Twitter feed. Have you ever, for those of you who do social media, have you ever watched like things pop up and someone posts this two-line saying and they think it's transformational and you're just kind of sitting there going, that doesn't make any sense to me. Anyone? Yeah, that happens a lot. But then there are other people who they say one sentence and you're hung on every word because the power of it is just overwhelming. That's the kind of guy that Solomon was. And it tells us in chapter 4, verse 33, that not only did his wisdom touch on the administrative, the social justice, all those kinds of things, but that he was so smart. History books cite that Solomon was the one who began breaking animals into groups of likeness. So where Adam gave them all names, Solomon started breaking them into, what's the scientific word I'm looking for? Genus? He was the one who started grouping them into those things and having the wisdom to do that. He was beyond brilliant because God had gifted him with supernatural wisdom and knowledge, and today his wisdom and knowledge is still relevant. And so when we look at the book of Proverbs, sometimes we forget that we're not just reading a man's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. Each of those points, each of those powerhouse sentences is straight from God through Solomon to us to be impacted by today. And so when we look at it, there's a lot we can get out of. Now, I am not going to spend the next month preaching on Proverbs, I don't think, okay? But I do want to take this morning and I want to share with you from the first 6 verses of Proverbs why this book is beneficial for all of us. Okay, so it's going to be really practical, really tangible, because what I don't want is for you to go home today and say, Pastor Steph has given us a task. I will not raise my hand when she asked if I did it, because I have no intent, because this seems pointless and I won't get anything out of it. I speak from experience. I may or may not have had moments like that when given a challenge. What I want you to know is that this will benefit all of us. So flip your Bibles open to Proverbs chapter 1, if you're not already there. Verse 1 is kind of a freebie. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Now, the next 6 verses intriguingly break down into who should read this book and why. This is the first 6 verses of the whole thing. Verse 2 says, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. This is the amplified version that you'll see underneath it. It says, to know skillful and godly wisdom and instruction, to discern and comprehend the words of understanding and insight. The reason that he wrote these proverbs were written down for us was for us to be able to fully get a hold of what's being said and to gain godly wisdom. There is nothing worse than learning a lesson you didn't have to learn the hard way. You ever had that happen? Where you learn a lesson and someone is sitting on the other side of it going, told you so. We could have just listened. And so this entire book is full of wisdom that if we will listen to it, it will prevent us from having I told you so moments, because God has laid the insight and the understanding out for us. Wisdom in the context that Solomon is talking about here, it applies in many areas. And in our English word, we lose the context. This word wisdom covers in the Hebrew war, administration, astute judgment, or intelligent caution in religious affairs. It's ethical and religious in nature. So Solomon is not saying, I'm just going to tell you about God and you can take this God wisdom and your relationship with him will be better. It's a book that covers wisdom for every facet of life, is what Solomon is telling us. Solomon isn't trying to give us just a point blank, one directional thing. It's all encompassing. The wisdom here, like we said earlier, it's not his, it's God's. And so when we read this book, we need to be sure that we understand the impact and the power of the words that are held, because they're not just a man, they're from God. And we know that we believe all scripture is divinely inspired and God-breathed, but sometimes it's really easy to lose focus of that, especially when it comes to a book like this where it's not telling a story, It's not citing something that happened. And quite frankly, I spend 3/4 of most chapters in Proverbs going like this. Because sometimes it just goes over your head. Has anyone ever had that when you've tried to read this book? I'm so thankful that concordances are online because it helps me to dig into it and understand it more accessibly than I could have before. So the first reason to read this book is if you are looking for godly wisdom. Verse 3. The next reason, verse 3 says in the NIV, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life and doing what is right and just and fair. Put up your hand if you know what a prudent life is. Okay, a prudent life, it means wise behavior. If you want to live your life with wise behavior, and it holds the imagery in the Hebrew of weights and measures, it's to say that there is actually a way to gauge if your behavior is wise or not. So do you want to live your life balancing the scales? Do you want to live your life measuring the scales the way God does, or are you going to kind of trip through it on your own and figure it out? Learning what is right and what is normal according to God's standards. We live in a world that has a lot of different standards, don't we? The most common one right now is, well, you do what makes you happy, and I'll do what makes me happy, and everything will be okay. But Scripture is really clear for us that there's more that matters than happy, right? And if we don't read the Word, we don't know what those things are. We can't measure well. We can't gauge how things are going or what we're learning. It's about learning the discipline of justice. There's a standard that is proper and fitting, and it's in line with the attributes of God and his desire for mankind, or in the words of Justin Trudeau, peoplekind, when it comes to all things. Justice is not subjective. God's version of justice, it's not like wishy-washy. Scripture is very clear that he is a just God. And time again, it cites that. And so we learn in Proverbs what that looks like. It's about fairness. It's about integrity and equity. And when you look at the cross references of that word fair, a lot of them will be verses in Psalms that read like Psalms 9, verse 8. He rules the world, God does, in righteousness and judges people with equity. Equity isn't about equality. It's not about you get one, I get one, you get one, I get one. It's about the balance of understanding the things that aren't seen and leveling it out that way. And so if I have a task that needs done in the church, let's say that we need to do the books, we need to sort pens into different color groups, and we need to write a sermon. And so Leanne and Aaliyah and I are sitting in a room, and we need to divide these tasks up. So Leanna's going to take the books. I know she doesn't want to, but she's going to take the books, and I'm going to take the sermon, and Aaliyah is going to take the pens. Now, you might think Aaliyah's task is much easier because it's not equal, but it's equitable because in our skill sets, that's the task that Aaliyah has the skill set for. And maybe I could try and do the books, but let's be honest, it's not going to go well. She's going to have to fix them later anyway. So equitable is not about what appears to be on the level in terms of division of labor or something like that. Equity is about he knows what's going on behind the scenes, and he holds the scales and the balances, and he's the one who rightly divides what is just and true and fair for all of us. And he's impartial in that. And we learn about that wisdom through the book of Proverbs. We learn in the book of Proverbs that when we have to judge something, we need to do it as a reflection of the one who judges us. That's a big measure to carry, isn't it? To try and be just and fair and equitable and all of those things. Solomon writes the book of Proverbs, I like this next one, for the young and the simple. It's like, wow, that seems a little harsh, a little direct. Verse 4, for giving prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the young. Prudence is a word that we don't really hear very often anymore, and it means good judgment. It's astute common sense, or having or showing the ability to accurately assess situations or people and turn it to your advantage. Discretion being the ability to read people, to discern what's going on, to kind of gauge what's happening. We like to look at young people and remind them that they don't know everything. That's not a new problem, right? Because Paul writes to Timothy and tells him to not let anyone look down on him because he is young. There is a truth that in our youth, there are things that we need to learn. But there's another truth that says that just because you're getting older doesn't mean you're not still simple. Does that make sense? We don't really necessarily in our culture revere the elderly as much as other cultures do, which I think is a sad thing. And there are some cultures where to call someone who was older simple would just be beyond a faux pas, right? It's not simple in the sense of stupid. Sorry to use that word. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is naive. He wants us to have the wisdom from the book of Proverbs because there are some of us who are really innocent and naive, and we're not just young, we're just really trusting. And the book of Proverbs will help us to know not only right from wrong, but what God's heart is in situations and to not be steered off the path. Now, I could be a very bad person, but I have been known in my day to kind of enjoy exploiting people who are a little bit naive. And you might think that that is ridiculous, but some people, it's like they just ask for it. Not in a church sense, okay? Not in like a life-ending kind of sense. That's not what I'm talking about. But when you meet a naive person, you just know. Like, there's one person I know, and I actually convinced them of something that it was not good. And I sold them on it, hook, line, and sinker. Like, they didn't think to Google anything. If I told you, you'd be like, Pastor Stephanie, I can't even believe that you pulled that off. It was like, if I told you that your nose was your ankle, it was that kind of obvious path that I led them down. It lasted about 3 hours. And finally, at one point, I thought that they were playing along. Okay, I truly thought that they knew that I was trying to get them going and they were leaning into it. And then I realized, no, actually now I need to go back and I need to make this right. And I need to tell them what the truth in this situation is. Because they're going to keep on going on thinking that what I have strung them as a story, which, again, completely and utterly uncredible to even the most young among us. But this person believed it. They were just gullible. Have you ever met someone who is naive and gullible? Please tell me I'm not alone in having found a little bit of humor along the road in that. Thank you, gentlemen in the back row. I appreciate you. You see, the thing is that it's not wrong to be trusting. Okay, that is a godly trait in some ways. But the truth of the matter is that people can exploit that. Not only in life or with foolish stories that I create and sell for 3 hours, but when it comes to the Word of God. We can't be gullible and trustworthy about all things pertaining to Scripture because I am telling you, I have heard people make the most ludicrous claims out of Scripture that are founded in no truth, but because they cited a Scripture verse, someone could believe them. That's why we're warned in the New Testament that in the last days we need to be careful because people are going to go looking for doctrines and teaching that please their itching ears, that they want to hear. There's a lot of really great Jesus stuff out there that I could sell a lot easier than some of the things we talk about. But it's not accurate to the whole book. It's not the truth. It's distorted. It's leading people down a path that looks so much like the truth, but is just a little bit off center. And Audrey so well spoke about the importance of being on point in her illustration with all of the doors. Does anyone remember that where you're talking about wisdom? Yeah. It really, really matters that we can divide those things. It's to save us from being taken off point because Solomon points out in the book of Proverbs that if you go so far off point, your spiritual life could be killed. It's really easy to wander down that path where you're sold a bill of goods spiritually and you don't have the discretion to know that it's not accurate. And Solomon is trying to help us do that. I think that that is something that all of us can benefit from. Verse 5. Maybe you're not young and simple. Maybe you're already wise. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Solomon writes the book of Proverbs so that if you're already wise, you can steer your course well, and you can lead other people to truth also. Maybe you're thinking, I'm not young and simple. I've been doing this church thing for a really long time, Pastor Steph. I've read the book of Proverbs. I know people who read it like yearly or kind of like monthly. They'll alternate between Psalms and Proverbs. Solomon says that you can read this book regardless of how wise you are, and there are things that you can learn out of it that will benefit your personal life, will benefit your spiritual life. It will help you to gain knowledge to add to what you already know. The Amplified writes it a little bit different. It says, the wise will hear and increase their learning, and the person of understanding will acquire wise counsel and the skill to steer his course wisely and lead others to truth. It's not enough that we know wisdom, is what Solomon teaches us in this book. If you understand wisdom, then it is your God-given responsibility in that wisdom to help other people get it, to help them get understanding. And so I had to text Leanne last night to confirm the wording of this expression. There's an expression that teachers and people who are trying to get you to understand something will use, and it goes something like this. The first time, I'm going to do it, and you're going to watch me. The second time, I'm going to do it, and you're going to help. And the third time, you're going to do it, and I'm going to help you or watch you. And so what Solomon's saying is maybe you're not young and simple, but maybe you need to take the wisdom and the understanding you have gleaned from this book, and you need to buddy up with someone who falls in the young and simple category, and you need to help them gain understanding. And so you can't say, well, I know it all, it's not there, because it's your responsibility to help lead others in the truth. Basically, Solomon's wisdom in the fifth verse is that we should be disciples. We should be taking what we have learned in our walk and in our life and in knowledge and experience of God, and we should be pouring it out to other people. We should be developing relationships that say, hey, yeah, no, I'm not perfect, but I'm connected to him and I'm in the word, and so let's do this journey together, and I'm going to help you understand what God has shown me, and then we're going to talk about it, and we're going to go back and forth about it, and then I'm going to help you do this with someone else. Right in the beginning portion of this book, those are the things that we can learn and benefit from. And the last reason that is listed in this beginning portion for reading the book of Proverbs is verse 6. For understanding proverbs and parables and the sayings and the riddles of the wise. Have you ever met a wise guy? A wise guy, like someone who's either thinks they're smart and they very much entertain themselves, or maybe they're accurately smart and you're always kind of sitting there and it's going over your head. Anyone? Yes, it's painful. I switched schools to a Christian school when I was in grade 3. And I don't really know how it happened, but somehow this perception came about that I was a really good student. I guess because I worked so hard, everyone thought my marks must reflect that. I never told them I averaged a solid 72. In a school where you need 60% to pass, that is not good. And for whatever reason, everyone kind of thought that I was better at this academic thing than I really truly was in most areas. And as such, I would find myself frequently sitting in groups of conversation while we're trying to do assignments where the smart people are talking and I don't actually know what's happening. But somehow I've ended up in this study group and it is all like just totally going over my head. They are wise and I don't know what's happening and I'm trying to discern it and decipher it. Have you ever found yourself in that kind of situation? And I appreciate the honesty in the back. Thank you for not leaving me hanging. As time went on, what I realized as I got to pick courses that I liked and I deciphered what was going on was that those wise people sometimes had a gifting from the Lord, but sometimes they really just had an ability to surround themselves with smart people and learn a lot of stuff. And that by hanging out with them, I could increase my knowledge and understanding and press into that. And Solomon is saying that when you listen to the wise sayings that don't make any sense and you dig into them, you get wiser by pressing in. You can understand eventually that a lot of those expressions and a lot of the life principles, even today, are still things that are held in the book of Proverbs. And if you understand them, you can watch them recur in different terms, and you can take godly wisdom, and you can avoid catastrophe, or you can troubleshoot, or you can problem solve, or you can walk things out well. And so he wants people to know that if you look at the Proverbs, you look at the words and the wisdom, you could understand all of the parables and the poems and the maxims, which are like short sayings that really don't make any sense. And you can unpack the questions and you can begin to see God at work around you and all of those things of life that maybe just kind of went over your head. You too can be a wise guy. So what does that look like? This is a proverb from Proverbs 12, verse 27. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. It's like gibberish. I'm not going to lie. I had to go to four commentaries. Four. It didn't even make sense to me in light of everything that was written around it in the scripture. I don't hunt. Maybe this passage is more beneficial for Troy and Matt and Pastor Trevor. I don't know. Maybe they get it more quickly. Gentlemen, I'm not asking you to answer it, but if you think you know what that means, can you slip your hand up? Yeah, no. It's over all of our heads, right? Literally, at a loss. So when I looked into it and tried to understand the wise guy, I found a wise guy who understood it and what he said it meant, and then I kind of went, oh, yeah, that makes sense. He says, using a somewhat humorous illustration, Solomon shows that a lazy man doesn't finish the job. He went to all the trouble of hunting and capturing the prey, but will never enjoy the fruit of his work because he's too lazy to do it. Just as one who might hunt but never cook what he finds, so the lazy person never completes a project. Diligence is a precious possession. There are many precious things that a man or woman can have, but diligence is near the top of that list. Because anybody can start a job and not finish it, but many great things are accomplished with little talent but great diligence. Isn't that amazing? One sentence. One sentence holds all of that power and wisdom if we just lean in and access it and go for it. Now, the reason, in my opinion, that you can read Proverbs over and over and over again, much like anything else, is yes, the Holy Spirit will highlight things at certain points in time, but sometimes there's something we need. There's something we have new information that helps us to understand. And so it doesn't matter whether you're trying to understand the wise guys, whether you think you are the wise guy, whether you're young and simple, self-proclaimed or not, whether you're, what else do we have here? Whether you're needing to learn discipline or you're just applying godly wisdom, there is something in this entire book nonstop for all of us. And so my question for you this morning is, if you fall in one of those categories, okay? If you are looking for godly wisdom, you need to learn discipline, you are young and simple, already wise, you want to understand the wise guys. If you fall into one of those categories, would you stand up this morning? Any one of them, doesn't matter. I'm not asking you to identify it. You fall into one of them. I have great news. This Bible reading challenge is for you. True story. And that was why I picked this book, because all of us can do it. And so I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna dismiss you, but I want you to make sure that you get the checklist to take with you and you really dig into this. If you are looking for ways to understand the book of Proverbs and you have access to the internet, Blue Letter Bible is a great source for on-point commentaries. They're not gonna steer you wrong. If you'd like to know how to use that, I'm happy to help teach you. If you have a question and you wanna email me, I am happy. If you think that you are the wise person and you're just reading this for more wisdom, I'm gonna have a clipboard for people to sign up in the hallway after, and I'm gonna send them to you and you can help impart your wisdom. My name is gonna be first. We're gonna dig into this together and we're gonna get wise and we're gonna understand what godly wisdom looks like together from the book of Proverbs. So God, I thank you for every person in this room this morning. And I thank you that your heart is for us to dig into your word and to have access to your wisdom as it came through Solomon and now has been preserved for us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would take it and you would breathe light and life into our lives through the pages of Scripture as your words come alive. And I pray that you would help us to be continually transformed by the renewing of our mind in you, Christ Jesus. We love you so much, Father, and we are so thankful that you have given us access to these words in Scripture and the inspiration that comes divinely from you. Would you help us to be transformed by it and to just be impacted by it afresh again in the week ahead? In Jesus' name, amen.